Airheads Candy just unveiled a candy-scented food spray. They call it Trick or Treat Smell My Feet. It's shaped like a foot. It's supposed to smell exactly like cherry-flavored Airheads. And you spray it on your feet so your feet smell nice, I guess. You can sign up to win a can next Monday. They're giving one away, or giving a bunch away, at airheadsfootspray.com. I love that name, though. Isn't that great? Trick or Treat Smell My Feet. The name of the product. Hey, it's 7 o'clock on the noggin. Jim Sullivan's coming in. But first, let's check news from CBS.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Hurricane Milton is churning toward the west coast of Florida right now as a catastrophic Category 5 storm with winds of 160 miles an hour. Tom Potter lives on Treasure Island.
Thinking that this storm could be the one that actually takes it all away, and then you have a parcel and no house, it's pretty scary.
The system is expected to make landfall late tonight, just south of Tampa. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
So much of this storm is going to be front-loaded and then crossing the state of Florida down to A1 and then exiting out the other side, and we're all done by Friday, but there's so much damage coming ahead of it.
Time is running out to evacuate. CBS's Nicole Valdez is in Fort Myers.
A steady stream of traffic moving inland has brought highways to a crawl, while areas like Treasure Island, already hit hard by Hurricane Helene almost 2 weeks ago, look like a ghost town. Tuesday.
The mayor of Tampa says storm surge of 15 feet would be deep enough to swallow an entire house. 27 days until the November election, and Vice President Harris is calling out her opponent over a claim in Bob Woodward's new book, Donald Trump sent Vladimir Putin COVID tests during the pandemic. Harris on CBS's Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
You remember what those days were like? You remember how many people did not have tests?
The Trump campaign denies the allegations. The former president's running mate, J.D. Vance, criticized Harris' appearance on The View earlier in the day.
Well, they ask her one thing you would do differently from Joe Biden. You know what she says? I can't really think of anything off the top of my head.
The Supreme Court will hear arguments today in a bipartisan plea to reverse Richard Glossop's death penalty conviction in a murder at a Best Budget Inn in Oklahoma City. State prosecutors agree with the defense. Glossop did not receive a fair trial. Independent investigations found the state withheld critical information and elicited false testimony from a key witness. How do you force Google into a breakup? CBS's Stacey Lynn.
The DOJ is considering asking a federal judge to force the tech giant to sell parts of its business in order to eliminate its online search monopoly. The move follows a landmark case that found the company had illegally abused its search monopoly for over a decade.
Two Americans and a Brit awarded this year's Nobel Prize in Chemistry for their work on the building blocks of life. Among them, David Baker at the University of Washington in Seattle.
I'm really excited about, I think, all the ways in which protein design can now make the world a better place in health, medicine, and technology.
S&P futures are down one. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Local power crews are staging near the state line to head south to help with the hurricane. As Hurricane Milton approaches Florida, local power crews from Cedarburg, Oconomowoc, and Hartford are preparing to assist with recovery efforts. We Energies is also sending a team of over 24 workers down to help restore power and mitigate the impact of the hurricane. To find out how you can help, visit civicmedia.us/help. Lessons on fishing and conservation are available this weekend in Racine. The Root River Steelhead facility will open its doors to the public Saturday for an open house. There will be educational activities related to fishing and conservation. People can also participate in guided tours and fish spawning demonstrations. A statement from the DNR says the family-friendly event will offer a learning experience for everyone to enjoy. Act now if you want to own a place known for warm beer and lousy food. The self-deprecating sign hangs outside Spanky's Bar and Grill in Kenosha, with that business and property now for sale. The listing at just under $500,000 says the bar is a longtime Kenosha institution and would be an opportunity for a new operator to take over. And an antique expert is coming to Racine. Next week on the 18th, people can take advantage of a free antique appraisal session with an experienced appraiser. It's Mark Moran. He's known for a 9-season stint on Antiques Roadshow. People going to the event at the library can have one item appraised at no cost. You'll pay $10 for additional items appraised. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
The Bucks getting ready. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks host the LA Lakers tomorrow night at Fiserv Forum, but Chris Middleton will not play in the preseason game after having surgery on both of his ankles.
Yeah, it's just listening my body, knowing, you know, my limits, knowing what pain is, knowing what you can play through and what is not smart playing through. You know, I've been through similar situations. I'm always going to be learning something about myself and my body as I go on.
Baseball, Bally Sports Wisconsin no longer will broadcast Brewer games on TV, so the team says they're moving to the MLB Network. President Rick Schlesinger.
Yeah, you're going to be able to turn your cable TV on, and you're going to be able to go to the Brewers TV channel. It may be a different channel than what it was last year, but it'll be easily accessible. So from that perspective, no change, other than I think a great quality programming experience. And if you are somebody who doesn't have cable and satellite and you want to watch Brewers games, you're going to have an opportunity to buy a subscription to a direct-to-consumer streaming service, which is going to be first-rate quality.
That's Brewers President Rick Schlesinger. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
We are going to keep our temperatures in the 60s here for the next several days, but fall is coming. We're actually going to drop our highs into the 50s by early next week. Today, sunny 65. Tonight, we'll drop to 51. Tomorrow, sunshine 68. By Friday, 80, but we'll drop to a high of 64 by Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Little universal moments that we share separately, the things that make us the same. They're so small, we hardly ever talk about them. Did you ever look at your watch? And then you don't know what time it is. And you have to look again. And you still don't know the time. So you look a third time and somebody says, what time is it? You say, I don't know. Do you ever notice how sometimes all day Wednesday, you keep thinking it's Thursday? And it happens over and over all day long. And then the next day, you're all right again. Ever find yourself standing in one of the rooms in your house and you can't remember why you went in there? You ever been talking to yourself and somebody comes in the room and you have to make believe you were singing? And you hope to God the other person really believes there's a song called What Does She Think I Am? Some kind of putz?
And a good morning. It's 7:07 at 7:08 at WRJN, local news and timeless hits. And let's say good morning to Jim Sullivan. He's the city administrator for the city of Racine. Good morning.
Good morning, Don. How are you?
Good. You were in radio.
I was a long time ago, and I have to admit, in a different century, when I was right out of school, I worked about 6 years in radio in the Milwaukee market and also Chicago. I started in classical music on the account side, and I ended up working for oldies and country, and did some work at rep firms down in Chicago in the Michigan Avenue advertising world.
Then one day he woke up and said, what am I doing with my life? I've got to get a life. I can't be doing radio. What's the matter with me? Snap out of it. And you did. And what did you do after radio? How did you get into this job? But let's take you between radio and this job.
It's some ground to cover there, Don. So I came from radio and I went to the dark side. I went to law school, but very much.
Oh, you did?
Yes, okay. I did. Yes, I went to Marquette University Law School and worked a couple of years afterwards at some big firms in Milwaukee. And I was always interested in public service. And so I ended up running for the city council in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. I served on the city council there For 6 years, I was, after that, 4 years in the state Senate representing suburban Milwaukee and part of Waukesha County. And this is like my whole resume here. But and then the past 12 years, I was the administrator for the child support program in Milwaukee County. So it was a big program, about 130,000 cases. We had a staff of about 135. So that was my background in public administration. But then when the opportunity arose here in Racine, I had known the previous administrator. I had known the mayor from years in the legislature years before. And it was a very exciting opportunity. And I'm learning all sorts of things about the city of Racine right now. I'm currently doing the commute, but I'm going to be relocating here to Racine.
Oh, okay. Where do you live now?
I live in Wauwatosa.
Oh, that's a long drive.
Yeah, about 45 minutes each way.
Yeah, we have people work here longer than that. So where are you from? Where were you born? Where are you from originally?
I grew up in the Milwaukee area and been there since high school.
Oh, so you're a local yokel. Okay.
So the Coast Guard brought my family to Wisconsin way back when I was going into high school. My father was the commanding officer of the Coast Guard bases up and down Lake Michigan. And we came out here. I, spent my teen years out here, went to UW-Madison, and they retired. And the southeastern Wisconsin has been our home ever since.
So you came here by boat?
Boats.
Right on Lake Michigan.
Boats were involved.
They dropped you off right there in Milwaukee, right by boat. Yeah. Well, thank you for your father for his service. That's great. Yeah. Okay, so you came here. You became city administrator. Did you graduate law school?
I did.
Oh, so you're a lawyer.
Yes, I'm guilty as charged.
A barrister. Okay, yes. We got one right here. We actually have another lawyer working for us.
Okay.
Maggie Dawn, who's the attorney for the...
I know Maggie well. We worked together in Milwaukee County for years. She's great.
She does on WAUK, does her afternoon show.
Okay.
So a midday show. So, she'll be working out of that studio right next to you beginning of 2 weeks.
I will have to reach out and say hello.
Yeah. Okay, so as city administrator, now I remember we didn't always have one. I don't think when I first moved here, I don't think we had one. Why did we need one?
The city administrator is there. I like to think of it as I'm sort of jack of all trades. The official term, I think you would say, is chief operating officer of the city. And somebody needs to be able to coordinate the back and forth between the different departments, be a liaison to stakeholders and community partners, and also help to do what you can to manage the relationship between the elected branches. So I am not, as I mentioned, was once upon a time in politics, but I consciously swore that off, and I'm very happy to have done so.
So this is not a political job.
It is not a political job. I'm on the administrative side, so I am the senior member of the non-elected staff, but I'm appointed by the mayor. I'm confirmed by the common council.
And you serve at his pleasure, and that's it. Right?
I do serve at the mayor's pleasure, but I also serve at the pleasure of the common council because I have a 3-year contract by which I do this job. So the common council, by that function, establishes that they're going to still be able to be a part of that conversation in terms of what direction administration is going. And you also have to remember that there are shorter terms in politics. I mean, when you're talking about a 2-year or a 4-year
term. Not shorter than radio.
No, not shorter than radio, I suppose so. But I'm not there at the behest of either the mayor or the common council. I'm not on the political side. But I'm there to hopefully make sure that everything works and works as smoothly as it can, given our sometimes rambunctious process.
So where do you fit in between the mayor and the council when a decision needs to be made? You just implement that decision, or how does that work?
Yeah, that is my job, to make sure that the wishes of the council, expressed through a majority of the council, and from the mayor, that's affected by the city government. So I'm helping to translate that into the different departments. I'm working with the different departments. I'm also there so that as members of the city council have issues that come up with their constituents, that I can kind of be point on that, and I can help the members of the council to help run that stuff down. By the council members, of course, serve in a part-time capacity, and they need somebody at the head of the full-time staff of the city to say, you know, hey, this alder had an issue for this constituent, what's going on here, so I can then get that information back. But yes, yeah, so sort of like I'm a facilitator and traffic cop between two political sides.
Yeah, between the two, yeah. So now they're currently having, we spoke to Alder Caprillion here the other day, and Alder Mack were in here talking about the they call it the boycott. I hate to use that word, impasse. Boycott sounds like they're walking with picket signs on a line. Sure. But the impasse, right? Does that affect you at all?
Oh, it certainly does. It affects me. It affects the city. It affects the citizens of Racine. And actually, I'm hoping to... I don't like the term boycott that much either, but I'm really hoping it's not an impasse, because I'm really hoping that this is going to be a brief... disagreement, and that it will go by the way. The disagreement is essentially because the Common Council, acting as the committee of the whole, had passed an item which had to do with the scheduling of items onto the agenda. So if you can control who schedules an item on the agenda, that's a powerful function. So that had to go to a standing committee, and the mayor had not scheduled it. So because of the fact that the mayor hadn't scheduled it, and you actually had this item which was about scheduling and it hadn't been scheduled, which is where I think some of the difficulty came from, then five members of the Common Council said, I'm not going to cooperate, I'm not going to do this if we can't get this scheduled.
Yeah, six, yeah.
Yeah, and it was six. Yeah. I believe it is now five.
Oh, it dropped down to five.
Yeah, okay. Nonetheless, the item that they wanted to have scheduled is actually in front of an exec committee of the council tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock. So as I understand it, this is what the members of the council who took this action wanted done. So hopefully it's been done. They'll have a vote and they can move on. But the important thing is, in the meantime, we've already had a common council meeting that couldn't happen because we didn't have a quorum. And on that agenda, and any agenda, are important things that need to be addressed for Racine, including safe water bonds, including development agreements, including contracts to get people paid. And we also have some grant money coming in from DOT that needs to be on an agenda on the 15th. So my hope is that with a vote in committee tomorrow, that we can get back to doing the people's business and being able to do this in a more constructive democratic process.
Well, the mayor's coming in on Monday. He'll be here. And I was talking, if it's not remedied by then, I thought maybe a summit at Lee's Deli. Get the some of the council members, get the mayor over there with a couple of corned beef pastrami sandwiches over at Lee's Deli. And I know Melissa Caprillion's a vegetarian, maybe a lettuce wrap.
Okay.
So, and have the Lee's Deli summit.
I'm all for the pastrami.
Everything can be fixed over a sandwich. I've never known a problem that couldn't be remedied over a nice corned beef or pastrami sandwich.
I think they're hearing you, and I'm entirely in on that.
Okay. We're talking to City Administrator Jim Sullivan. We've got some other serious topics to talk about. We'll do that in just a moment. 718 at WRJN, local news and timeless hits. How about some entertainment news now? Here's Pete Schwabba.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Joker 2, Foley O'Dowd, took number one at the box office this past weekend. The film brought in $40 million to lead the way, but given that both audiences and critics showed approval ratings in the low 30s, according to Rotten Tomatoes, it would be a surprise if the Joker sequel starring Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga showed any type of legs at the box office. Coming in second place was last week's champ, The Wild Robot, which added a few screens and took in almost $19 million domestically. The Wild Robot, in contrast to The Joker, is rocking a 98% score on Rotten Tomatoes with both critics and audiences. My guess is the 2% in each case are moviegoers who enjoyed The Joker. Coming in third place was Beetlejuice Beetlejuice with just over $10 million at the box office in its fifth week of release. The Beetlejuice sequel has taken in $265 million domestically. Rounding out this week's top five are Transformers 1 and Speak No Evil. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And you can hear Pete Schwabe on AM 540 WAUK tonight at 6 o'clock, right at 540 WAUK.
Fountain Hills Apartments presents Mary's Unique Boutique pre-holiday shopping. Come shop for your one-of-a-kind holiday outfit with Mary's Boutique. When? Thursday, October 17th. Where? Fountain Hills Apartments at 1100 Fountain Hills Drive in Mount Pleasant in the C Lobby. Shop for your unique outfit from noon till 4 p.m. This is a free event. Refreshments will be offered in the C Dining Room. That's Mary's Unique Boutique pre-holiday shopping on October 17th at Fountain Hills Apartments in Mount Pleasant.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde suggested most nursing home residents shouldn't be allowed to vote because of their life expectancy.
Listen to Eric Hovde.
Well, if you're in a nursing home, you only have 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is in a point to vote.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Even though I'm old, I'm doing just fine, Eric Hovde.
Son, I've served this country. I think I can handle a ballot.
Listen to Eric Hovde again.
Almost nobody in a nursing home is in a point to vote.
What's he talking about?
Didn't he learn to respect his elders?
Eric Hovde hasn't just insulted older Wisconsinites. He's also proposed cutting Social Security, Medicare, and nursing home care, even veterans benefits.
He's crazy.
He's a jerk.
Eric Hovde, what's wrong with this guy?
I'm Tammy Baldwin, candidate for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
WRJN refreshes hometown radio with our local news and timeless hits. We heard you when you asked for the oldies to come back, and we know how important local news and features are to you, too. So we're doing what you asked for. Brewers, Packers, Badgers, Bucks, and high school sports, along with a renewed commitment to local news and timeless hits.
WRJN. Say hello to Jim Sullivan, our city administrator, and we're talking about his job in the first section, what it is, how he does it. And here are some things you brought up to talk about. The Jeffords Horlick Development Site, Phase 4 awaiting approval. Now, what is that?
This is the old Horlick Malt Factory on State Street. And a developer named Josh Jeffords has been working in the city in cooperation with our planning and development department. They've put together a fantastic
But there are things that businesses there. There now.
Absolutely. And many people may be familiar with the Inclusive Bean, which is a really great coffee shop.
Yeah, coffee shop there.
Yep. And so I've had a number of local meetings as I've gotten to know the city, people from the city of Racine over at Inclusive Bean. And there is a fourth phase of that, which is actually currently on the agenda for the city of Racine, which was on the agenda for last week. Common Council agenda, and that's going to include not only some townhomes, but we're hopeful possibly even a brew pub that's going to really sort of help to, you know, fill out that community. And that's an example of something that is currently on hold because of the fact that Common Council agendas are not going forward.
Wait, so what are they going to do with it? What are they right now? The old buildings are still there.
Yeah.
And people have repurposed them. There's some art galleries or whatever in there, and there's other businesses there.
So they don't want to tear them down, do they?
No. So I know that we're looking at is townhomes and a couple of additional different business opportunities there. So right now, it's on hold. I mean, and obviously, like any organization, we're going to, you know, pivot and we're going to make do when something comes up, like a bump in the road, like the Common Council is not currently meeting. But, I mean, that only goes so far until it starts costing people plans and costing people money. And in this case, we were able to reach out to the developer, to Josh Jeffords, and say, hey, council's not meeting right now, but we hope to get back on track soon, which I'm hopeful, again, starts with tomorrow night's committee vote. But in the meantime, we also had a number of bonds that were on the agenda at that point. And, you know, not everybody's familiar with this, but when you float a bond offer for a public project, in this case, safe water drinking bonds, that is then goes to market through bond council, and then the council meets later in the day and ratifies that process. So if you float these on the market and then you don't get the vote that ratifies it, you risk having both your credit ranking change, you risk having the interest rate that is going to be paid on those bonds change, and that actually does cost the people overseeing money. So that's something that had to be pulled off the agenda from last week's council meeting, and I'm hopeful we'll be back on the next agenda as soon as possible. But those are just some examples of some of the challenges that we have with this current action. But I wanted to bring up the Horlick Mall development because, frankly, it's just a really good story of some cool stuff that's happening in Racine.
If you want to see the history of that complex, go to the Heritage Museum.
Yeah.
They've got the Horlick malted milk balls. I have trouble saying that. Horlick malted milk balls.
Right here in Racine, Wisconsin.
Malted milk. Now, I mean, I like malts. I can't believe that's where it came from.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, everything is Horlick in town here. So they
Racine not only invented malted milk balls, they also invented the blender to make your malts.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. The malted milk machines?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I have one at home. I have an old-fashioned malted milk machine at home.
Okay.
With the aluminum thing, you put the all the ingredients, and then they used to put it on the table and you poured in whatever you wanted to drink, and you always had that aluminum cup.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you always had it there.
It would kind of ice on the side.
Yeah. And you know, I still get, if I go to a Culver's or something, I still get malts.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody said, well, I got a milkshake. It's not the same thing as a malt.
Yeah.
They add malt to it.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I mean, the mayor told me that when I came on board here. He said, you know, this was where malted milk was invented. It was apparently originally going to be a preservative, and it turns out it tastes really good.
Yeah.
And then also the blender.
And, of course, you can, if you go to Culver's or any restaurant that makes their own malts, milkshakes, just say I want a malted.
Yeah.
And they'll add malt powder to it, and that's the Horlick malted milk powder.
That is.
That's great. Okay. We're talking to the city administrator for the city of Racine, Jim Sullivan. More coming up in a moment. Right now, you know what it's time for. You said you grew up with this. So you remember Paul Harvey?
Yes, I certainly do.
All right. We got Paul Harvey now with the rest of the story.
Now, the rest of the story. For more seasons than are usually permitted a television series, a program called Murder, She Wrote stars Angela Lansbury and has delighted enthusiasts of mystery fiction, including this one. The starring role is that of Jessica Fletcher, professional mystery writer and amateur sleuth. Did you ever wonder, is there a real-life Jessica? Is there someone after whom that part was patterned? Well, this is the rest of the story. I want you to meet Charlotte McLeod, New England, Maine's main author of Murder Mystery. She is reserved and slightly eccentric, middle-aged and unmarried, somewhat small, short blonde hair, walks for exercise. That's Jessica, all right. Charlotte McLeod travels to research and promote her books. Promotional tours are always fun for her, but she has an old-fashioned streak. She doesn't even use a word processor to peck out her fiction, uses a typewriter, as does Jessica. There's always a bit of tongue-in-cheek humor in Charlotte McLeod's murders, and she will visit New York, but mostly when her publisher deems a meeting mandatory. The devotees of fictional Jessica Fletcher would recognize the nephew who appears in some episodes of Murder, She Wrote. Charlotte McLeod has just such a nephew to whom she is very close. Only it's not TV, it's real. Charlotte McLeod is Jessica Fletcher. And the true stories this real-life literary sleuth could tell, my goodness, sometimes Charlotte courts danger without even knowing it. Like the time she was visiting Boston to research her latest book. She worked late and alone most nights, grew accustomed to regular encounters with a messenger who also worked in the building. Then one evening that messenger killed an elevator operator. It was a very messy case. Turned out the man was a psychopath who was easily set off, as they say. But the victim that time might have been Charlotte herself. The authorities have developed a lot of respect for Charlotte McLeod. A skilled graphologist, she was once called in to analyze the handwritten letters of the Boston Strangler. In fact, Charlotte is right now attempting to identify the original Jack the Ripper, based on recently discovered handwriting samples. And yet there's one significant difference between factual Charlotte and fictional Jessica, a difference that you would imagine last of all. For real-life murder mystery writer Charlotte McLeod is the heroine of Murder, She Wrote in so many ways, in her background, in her physical description, in her profession, in her demeanor, right down to her home state, Maine. But in this quite definite way, she's not Jessica Fletcher. You see, when the producers of Murder, She Wrote were creating the Jessica Fletcher character, they did so out of thin air. Really? Right out of their imaginations, nothing more, nothing less. It was long after the TV series was a hit that they learned of the real-life Charlotte McLeod. The amazing similarities between the real-life heroine and the made-up one were and are completely, if incredibly, totally coincidental. Anyway, now you know the rest of the story.
And don't forget to learn how your business can be a sponsor of one of the most popular radio shows ever to air on WRJN. Call us during business hours. The phone number, 262-634-3311, 262-634-3311. It could be one of four category exclusive businesses to sponsor Paul Harvey and the rest of the story. 731, let's check news in the morning, see what's going on. Here's Stuart.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A German container company has Kenosha as part of their major plans. The Milwaukee Business Journal reports Schutz Container Systems is advancing its expansion plans, adding two more plants to its already under construction facility along 60th Street. The company's investment will bring the total number of their plants in Kenosha to three, with a possible fourth in consideration. A Walworth County deputy shot and critically injured a man in East Troy on Monday. It came after the officer responded to a domestic violence call where the suspect had reportedly cut a woman with a razor blade. The sheriff's office is now pursuing felony charges against the suspect, who remains hospitalized in critical condition. Brewers fans can expect a new viewing experience next season. The team has parted ways with Bally Sports, handing over broadcast responsibilities to Major League Baseball. According to team officials, the change is not expected to incur additional costs for viewers, with plans for a dedicated Brewers channel on cable TV. Dog walkers are getting together tomorrow in Racine for training. There's still some sign-up slots left open for the newest effort from the Racine Neighborhood Watch. They're hosting a dog walker watch volunteer training session tomorrow at 6 in the City Hall Annex. People going will learn how to report suspicious activity confidentially and other tips to keep an eye on the community while they walk their dogs. There's event contact info on the Racine Neighborhood Watch social media page. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Commodity brokers are watching South America as they kick off their delayed planting season thanks to recent rains. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Wednesday morning. We'll talk about it next.
Whether you're in the market to buy or sell, count on Steffes Group for any and all of your equipment this harvest season. Thinking about retirement or a career change? Steffes Group can support your next steps with reliable auction services. Visit steffesgroup.com today to see a full list of upcoming auctions in your area or nationwide, or to contact your local representative. That's STEFFESGROUP.com.
Brazil finally has moisture in the ground. Market advisor John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing says that means planting season can begin in earnest for our southern competitors.
Yeah, they're a couple weeks behind, but the bulk of their planting occurs, you know, here now within the next basically month. So if the weather forecasts improve, they'll continue to push the planters. It's an interesting, you know, here we want some moisture in the soil. Down there, they wait for the moisture before they push the planters forward. You know, we want things to dry out before producers start rolling in our area. So it's a different mentality just because of the extremeness of the weather and just how that country lays out in terms of its, you know, overall geography.
Market advisor John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing in West Bend. He says the comfortable amount of moisture in South America is going to put pressure on U.S. trade. Don't go anywhere. We'll take a look at our morning commodity markets next.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
Commodity prices are seeing a pop to kick off a Wednesday. From Chicago, December corn is up a penny and three quarters at 422 and a half. November soybeans are up a nickel and three quarters at 1022 a bushel. Cash wheat is up a nickel and a quarter at $6 a bushel. And July 2025 new crop wheat is up a nickel at 643 and a half. On the close yesterday from Chicago, cheese prices were down. Barrel cheese down a nickel and a quarter at $1.88. And the 40-pound block cheese closing down 2 cents at $1.92 and three quarters. But today, Class 3 milk prices are moving higher. Class 3 milk goes to make cheese. The November contract is up 11 cents at $21.24 a hundredweight, and December Class 3 milk is up 13 cents at $20.78. That's your market update on a Wednesday morning. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
We are going to keep our temperatures in the 60s here for the next several days, but fall is coming. We're actually going to drop our highs into the 50s by early next week. Today, sunny 65. Tonight, we'll drop to 51. Tomorrow, sunshine 68. By Friday, 80, but we'll drop to a high of 64 by Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
I'm sure some of you got a little crazy last night, but L.A. got crazy yesterday morning. You probably heard there was an earthquake here yesterday morning. It was a 4.4 magnitude. To give you an idea of what that's like, it's a little more than 4.3 and less than a 4.5. That's what it feels like. Anybody feel it yesterday? Yeah, so did I. It was quite something. I mean, 4.4 is a big earthquake, and it happened at 6:30 in the morning. Portia stayed in bed. I reacted quickly. I immediately called my butler and said, carry me to the doorframe. So he had me under the doorframe. Afterwards, I walked around the house to survey the damage, and it was pretty bad, actually. A little bit of the cat's water spilled, and some of their food had come out of the bowl on the table. So we'll be all right. Thank you for your prayers. They say animals can sense that something is going to happen before it happens. And I should have known something was up because Charlie, my cat, sleeps with me all the time. She's the cutest thing, sleeps in my little arm. And about an hour before the earthquake, Charlie got out of bed, packed a suitcase, and called Uber. I thought she was just in one of her moods, but she... But people can't predict them. Scientists are always trying to guess when we'll have them based on past patterns. They say we're going to have a big one sometime in the next 7 years. And I used to take their warnings seriously. That's why I spent most of the 80s in a closet. But,
And thanks for joining us here at 7:38 at WRJM Local News and Timeless Hits. Jim Sullivan, our city administrator, is here. How long have you been in the job for?
Since the beginning of June. So
I thought you were here for years. Why did I think that?
No. We've fit a lot into the past 4 months. You know, we've been.
Oh, okay.
I came in and I said to the mayor and some of the folks on the Common Council, you know, coming here from, you know, Wauwatosa.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a lot to learn. I want to meet all the, want to go out and have lunch with all the council members and the department heads and meet community stakeholders and all that kind of stuff. But we were, boom, right in the middle of this water negotiation with Mount Pleasant. And then we had the vote on the Lincoln King Community Center, which is just, by the way, going to be fantastic. And that groundbreaking is later this month. It's October 30th. But so it's like one big project after another. It's been kind of funny. I was joking with folks. I've been in state government, I've been in county government, and now in Racine City government. Each of those levels of government got consecutively smaller, from the state to the county to the city. And it seems like the pace has picked up as I get into a smaller unit of government. But we're getting the job done, and there's some great things happening in Racine, and I'm really excited to be a part of
that. Good. Well, I can say welcome to Racine.
Thank you very much.
Right. I didn't realize you were just here. It sounds like you've been here for a long time, the way we're talking. Well, good for you. Got right into it. You didn't say, hey, today's my birthday. Happy birthday. Get to work. So, let's talk about, before we talk about the King Center, Community Center, let's talk about the ribbon cutting ceremony for the Breakwater Apartments, which is right at the corner of Main Street and State Street. And I remember when it was just dirt. I think there was a Wisconsin Electric building there at one time. They tore it down. It was dirt. Didn't know what they were going to do with it. Because I pass it every single day coming and going to work. And then I watched it go from dirt to a frame to the first floor to the second floor. I think the mayor was in there. I said, how many floors are they going to do? They're up to the third. He said, they're doing more than that. Fourth floor, I think five floors are up
to. Five floors.
And I watched them build it from every detail. And one night the light was on. Somebody was working in there. And I got a peek in. And it looks really nice inside those apartments.
Yeah.
And they got this big fluorescent light along outlining the building. You got a great view of the lake area. You're right downtown. You got all the stuff going. I mean, you're right. You don't need a car. I mean, it's one of these things where you're working. You're right downtown. We're seeing you could walk to work.
Yeah, I think a lot of people enjoy that aspect of urban living. And coming from the Milwaukee area, where I mean, the Third Ward along the river, anything you know with a lake view just has exploded. And you talk about your housing costs. I mean, it's so you can't get into a condo in the Third Ward for less than $500,000.
Whoa.
And then here in Racine, I mean, you can be in a place like the Breakwater. There are 233 new units. These are market rate units. And yeah, they've got this fantastic fifth floor observation deck and community room. And they have two bedrooms, one bedroom. So we have a new senior leader in city government who's come here, and she's got a studio apartment there. And I've been looking at a two bedroom there myself. So who knows, that might even end up being home for me. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it looked great on the inside. It looks like a nice property. You could actually, if you're on the upper floor, probably see the lake. And I live on North Main. I could hear the lake at night when it's rough, and you can hear it. You know, I live a block and a half from the lake. But, yeah, it's I enjoy living near downtown. It takes me 10 minutes to get to work every day here, and I love it. It used to take me, when I first worked here, 50 minutes, 5-0. And that's on a great day when there was no snow, no nothing. Okay. But, yeah, well, that's good. All right, so look at you moving downtown, maybe.
I hope so.
Yeah, you can do our parade coverage from your apartment out the window.
Well, I got to watch the parade this year. It's one of the best parades in the whole state.
As about the 4th of July?
As I was promised. And having, you know, been recovering from my time in politics, I was happy not to be in the parade. I wanted to watch the parade, and it was great.
I was in it. We drove an old car. Lou Regani collects classic cars. And we drove one of his classic cars, and we pull up to do the lineup. And I forget what street it was. We pull up for the lineup. And I get out and I see green fluid just dripping from the car in a big puddle. And I said, Louis, is this supposed to be here? And he said, oh, don't worry, I just overfilled it. All I pictured was this car, this old car, which was it's a clutch car. So we had to keep clutching it. Yeah,
sure.
And I said, we're going to make it? He goes, oh, yeah, no problem. And we did. We made it. And we were in this classic car. I loved it. And that was the first time I was ever in first time in the parade in years.
Okay.
But I want to thank the 4th Festival Committee for letting us in. All right, let's talk about the YMCA moving forward. Now, this YMCA used to be right there on the lakefront. And I've been there before. Now it's not there anymore. In fact, they moved it to State in Maine. That's it's in that building now. Mm-hmm. But is this building just abandoned, right?
Yes, the building has been boarded up and abandoned for some years now. I mean, a lot of folks here in Racine know it well. I know the mayor learned to swim in that pool. But, I mean, that was a great...
Was he baptized in the pool?
You have to ask the mayor. He's here on Monday. It's a really unfortunate broken-down hulk on the lakefront right now. So that affects the surrounding area. You can see there's broken-out glass there. There's board-ups. We've still had problems with vagrants getting in there. Squatting, we had some issues.
Really?
Yes, there were... a fire not that long ago. But I got to do a walkthrough with contractors who were coming to bid on the demo maybe a month ago. And it was a little scary to walk through. I was wearing the wrong shoes. I was talking to the woman who's in charge of our neighborhood. We call it our NED neighborhood department. And she's, a pro. She's got good work boots to walk through there. But there's a lot of debris. It's going to be an expensive teardown, but it's going to be a prime property.
It is a prime right on the lakefront, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, but there is... there is a contract that's going to be awarded on that. And so we're hopeful that demo on the building is going to happen over this winter.
It can't be repurposed?
No.
Too far gone?
No, it's spent. I mean, there's also tanks on the side, fuel tanks, because they use that for the heating of the pool.
Okay.
So it's going to be an expensive demo, but you have to do that before you can get down to, a basic... flat parcel, and it's going to develop, I think, a tremendous amount of developer interest, again, because of that whole downtown urban living shops restaurant. We've got Memorial Square. We've got the Verdant now, really kind of providing some exciting spark to the downtown.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a... I saw pictures of Racine downtown in its heyday with the big lights, the big fluorescent lights going over the road and everything. And I got to tell you something. Most downtowns in cities went downhill. Racine's didn't.
Yeah.
It went uphill because we got some great stores. Of course, I live near downtown. We got some great stores, new stores moving in all the time. And the Verdant, as you said, I've never been there, but people who have... said it's just wonderful to have dinner on the roof and enjoy yourself, and I got to go in there.
Oh, it's fantastic. We were talking about 4th of July. My wife and I stayed at the Verdant.
Oh, did you?
Yep, okay. For the 4th of July. We got to see the fireworks from up there, which I think you have to actually be a guest at the hotel because everybody's going to want to be up there. But it's gorgeous. You can see the Racine fireworks right in front of you. You can see all the way up into Oak Creek and St. Francis fireworks. And, of course, you have that gorgeous view of the lake.
Got a few more topics to talk about with Jim Sullivan, our city administrator. Brand new to Racine. All right. I love it. I thought you were here for years and years and years.
Wait, thank you. I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah, it was, because he got all this done already and all the other things you're working on here. So more with Jim Sullivan coming up in a moment. We're looking for sunshine today with a high near 64, a clear sky tonight, lows around 53. I have seen pictures of the Aurora Borealis that were out the other night, and I missed it. I was watching Big Brother, and I should have been watching the sky. It's tough where I live because there's so many trees in the way, but a friend of mine who lives out in East Troy took pictures and posted them. I couldn't believe the Aurora Borealis from East Troy the other night. And one of our engineers, Corey, took pictures or got pictures from Ashland, Wisconsin. The whole sky was lit up in living color, like the peacock on NBC. And I wish I could have seen it. I did see it a few months ago, and I saw blue and green haze in the sky. That's the first time I ever saw it. I said, this is amazing. And I shouldn't have been watching TV then. I should have been out there watching the sky. Anyway, so for tomorrow, sunshine 2 with a high near 66. Right now, clear. It's 49 degrees here at Radio Park.
Sometimes people change, and not always for the better. Take Senator Tammy Baldwin. What happened? She's been in D.C. for 25 years. Extreme left-wing groups have showered her with campaign cash, and now she's siding with them. Baldwin supported puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin. That's extreme. And Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men who claim to identify as women, making survivors of domestic violence sleep in the same building as men. That's just cruel. Tammy Baldwin used to share our values, but a quarter century in Washington has made her just too extreme for Wisconsin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Buying or selling a home is a big deal. Literally. It's one of the largest financial transactions you're likely to make. So work with someone who will work with your best interests in mind. Someone who agrees to operate with transparency, honesty, and fairness every step of the way. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors and are bound by a strict code of ethics that requires they put your interests above their own. Because that's who we are. Make sure your agent is a Realtor.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite news podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening on Amazon Music is included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy with podcasts like The Daily, Up First, and Five Things Uninterrupted at amazon.com/ad-free. Just head to amazon.com/ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin hits the road to take on the Scarlet Knights. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 99.9 FM, 1400 AM, WRJN.
Shop the September Savings Sale this week at All American Do It Center. Save up to 40% on select insulating foam sealant starting at $5.49. Save $2 on Gorilla Glue, clear multi-purpose adhesive. Or save $20 on a rechargeable fire extinguisher, now $49.99. Shop the September Savings Sale at All American Do It Center in Toma, Sparta, and Richland Center.
You can get the job done right.
Local news, timeless hits, WRJN at 7:51. It is a Wednesday. It's Wednesday? Can't be Wednesday. Yeah, it's Wednesday. Jim Sullivan is here, city administrator. Let's talk about the downtown redevelopment project. Now, what are we redeveloping? To me, it looks perfect. You know, I'm one of these people that my wife said, we're going to redo the bathroom. Well, it's perfect. What are we going to redevelop the bathroom for? Sure. So why are we? What are we doing downtown?
Well, we're very fortunate that we have the downtown Racine Downtown Corporation that works to attract businesses and help to put on some of the events that we have down there, including the upcoming holiday shopping season, which we actually just had a vote from committee the other night that there's going to continue to be free parking on Saturdays downtown through the holiday season, which is something that we'll see if we can continue to afford, but will at least happen again this year. But so certainly we've had some challenges where we have some open spaces. We've got some open storefronts. We've had some some issues down there, honestly, with vagrancy around our Veterans Square, around Memorial Park. We're trying to figure out how we address those issues. I think that that's a social services aspect that needs to be hopefully coordinated between county health and services, the hospitality center down there, Halo, which provides support for our people who are experiencing homelessness. So those are some of the challenges that we've had. But I mean, as you mentioned, and you know from living in the neighborhood, there's a lot of opportunity there. There's a lot of exciting things going on, great restaurants, a boutique hotel. As you bring in the Breakwater, which the ribbon cutting is this coming Friday, as I mentioned.
Is that when it's going to be this Friday?
Yep. Okay. There's 200.
Are people living in there now?
Yes, there are people living in there
before
now.
Before the ribbon was cut?
Before the ribbon was cut. I mean, when I last toured, they gave me an opportunity to move in where there were still studs, you know, on some of the walls that hadn't been finished out. But no, I think that they are, I know that they're renting, so if anybody's interested in the Breakwater, give them the call. They have an office on Main Street. But they opened outside of the prime rental season, which I understand is in the spring. So they're hoping that they'll have more there. But the point is, as you start to bring on more of these properties, 233 new properties at that location, we're also looking at the parcel just north of the river on the other side of the bridge, where I think there's some tremendous opportunity for future development there. And I heard a great expression from one of the folks that works for the Josh Jeffords Development Company, which was something along the lines of how big of a crowd do you have to draw a crowd? And so the idea is that as you start bringing in some of this new market rate housing, not only does that help to solve housing issues, it helps with the city tax base, it helps to bring additional businesses in. And so I think you're just going to see a lot better of a dynamic going on in the downtown in future years.
When my parents moved from New York to Florida back in 2000, my father once said, well, we're going to die in New York. We're never going to move. They moved like all old people. They moved to Florida. And it was in a gated community that wasn't built yet. So they moved into an apartment for a few months while the house was being built. It was a house. And they went down there every day and bothered the workers, asking them questions. Where is this going to be? We wanted the room here. We wanted the room there. The people who ran the gated community came down and banned them from ever stepping foot on the property until the house was ready. I said, what did you guys do? We wake up in the morning, go bothering these workers? They parked outside across the street from the house being built. And every day they would talk to the workers. My father would walk on site, look around, because he worked in the plumbing industry in New York City for years. So he knew buildings when they were being built. And he said, so where's this going to be? And these workers are trying to get done. They got like 300 homes to build.
Yeah.
And they're dealing with these two old people who are bothering them, who got nothing better to do with their day. And so I know what it is to, you know, I should have gone to the workers at the break front and said, gee, so where's this going to be? Could you come down? I want to ask you something about the bedroom. How many bedrooms is this?
Exactly.
And even when they were building State and Maine. Now, how do you get to the part? Where's the elevator to get to the garage? Bothering these
people. I've got 233 of these units to build.
Get away, Rob. You're banned from the property. So my parents only got to go on the property when it was ready to be inspected by them. They actually had the orders at the security gate not to let them in because they were bothering the workers.
They were fully engaged.
Okay, quickly, I got something else I want to talk to you about instead of this. We got to all the questions there. I want to talk to you about, this is a personal thing. Did you watch scary movies as a kid?
I loved scary movies as a kid, and I still do now.
Okay. What's your youngest memory of watching a scary movie? Because a lot of parents don't want their kids watching because they'll have nightmares.
Okay.
And they'll be jumping in the bed with their parents, peeing in the bed with their parents. I don't want to wake up in a wet patch. So what was the youngest age, and what was the movie? Can you remember?
It's funny. I actually do remember. So, I mentioned that my father was a Coast Guard officer, yeah. And before we came here, we lived outside of Washington, D.C. in Northern Virginia. And so the kids would run around in the summers back and forth from each other's house. And there was a movie called The Boogeyman. And it was filmed, as I recall.
Oh, that was a real low budget film. Yeah,
you know, it was filmed across the river in Maryland.
Yeah,
in like Potomac, Maryland, or someplace like that. And so, because that was relatively local to us, we all wanted to watch it. And I remember watching it over my friend Danny's house, and I think he was probably the only family that had cable. Because you know, I must admit, this is before. I think this was even before VCRs. But we watched it, and I haven't thought about that movie in a while, but it was certainly a cool thing to do to get to watch this with the rest of your buddies. And I think we were like 12 or 13.
Did it scare you?
Yes, it certainly did. But I've raised two boys myself, and in the modern era with access to.
Was that 1980?
Oh, it could have been 1980. Yeah,
The Boogeyman.
Look at you just looking that up.
Yeah, The Boogeyman. Let's see the all-star cast that was in that film. I can't imagine. Well, John Carradine was in it, but he was probably about 90 years old when he was in there.
Okay.
Because he was in The Grapes of Wrath. He was in all movies from the 20s, 30s, and 40s. That's it. That's the only name in that movie. The star was Susanna Love. Yeah, that's a real name. She was the star of the movie and the boogeyman. I mentioned earlier, the first movie, now I saw Psycho as a kid, but I didn't really, you know, I was 6 years old. And my parents took us to see it at the drive-in. And I remember my mother was terrified from that movie. That was the movie you couldn't take a shower when you got home.
It's a scary movie.
I have it on DVD and Blu-ray. Actually, I have it on Blu-ray, I think. I watch it all the time. It's just a great movie. It's not frightening to me anymore, but it's a good movie. The first movie that really scared me was the 1958 House on Haunted Hill. I didn't see it in 58, but it starred Vincent Price. Are you going to write that down?
I'm writing it
but
down.
But not the remake. Don't watch the remake.
Okay.
The remake's terrible. House on Haunted Hill. And we had a Channel 9 in New York where we watched it. And they ran the same movie every night at 7:30 and 11, Monday through Friday. And weekends, every 90 minutes from 9 a.m. until 11 p.m. at night. Every 90 minutes. And I remember watching The House on Haunted Hill over and over and over again. So I bought it on DVD a couple of years back. I still watch it and get the shakes. The scariest movie I ever saw, beside The Exorcist, that just blows me away, was The Haunting. Robert Wise made this between West Side Story and The Sound of Music. He made this scary movie called The Haunting, and it just petrifies me. It's not the first scary movie I ever saw, but to this day, I watch The Haunting, I'm frightened. The Exorcist is just on another level. I just can't watch that without.
We used to go up and down the stairs in Georgetown. We were kids.
Oh, where they the priest rolled down
stairs. Yeah, no, it's a bit of a tourist attraction now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've seen people post pictures of that.
I mean, it's still just stairs, but you know, people will go and make the pilgrimage to go see the stairs when they're out bar hopping in Georgetown.
Now, what's in the window at the top of the stairs where he falls out of? Is that somebody?